The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning and welcome to Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. And your hosts today are Betty Knighton, who is majestically speaking, Robin McDonald, owner of Renew Construction Services, Sharon Parker, Ask Coach Parker, and myself, Ursula Odom, owner of Sula 2 Publishing. As you know, and as you have joined us, I hope, we march through the book Think and Grow Rich each week, and we are currently in chapter 4. But for those of you who have not been with us, or as a reminder, chapter 1 is desire, and this is the starting point of all achievement of the first steps of riches. And then we have chapter 2, which is faith, visualization and belief in the attainment of desire, the second step to riches. And the third chapter is auto-suggestion, the medium of influencing the subconscious mind, which is the third step to riches. Now, we have covered those over the last 3 months, and we are currently in the chapter specialized knowledge, which is personal experiences or observation, is the fourth step to riches. And, you know, as you witness successful people in life around you and yourself, probably because you're going through this book, you know that success is not an accident and there is a method to it. And this is the method by which we study and then practice the things, the steps that will help us become successful in our lives, and not by accident. It's with a strategy. And we are going through the book each week, as I mentioned, following those steps and watching the magnificent way that it's influencing all of our lives. So today, we are going to talk about Chapter 4, Specialized Knowledge. And if you have your book, it'd be wonderful for you to follow along with us. So, Chapter 4, there are two kinds of knowledge. One is general, the other specialized. General knowledge, no matter how great in quantity or variety it may be, it is but little use in the accumulation of money. The faculties of the great universities possessed in the aggregate practically every form of general knowledge known to civilization. Most of the professors have not amassed great wealth. They specialize in teaching knowledge, but they do not specialize in the organization or the use of knowledge for the accumulation of money. Knowledge will not attract money or any other kind of success unless it's organized and intellectually directed through practical plans of action to the definite end of accumulating money. Lack of understanding of this fact has been the source of confusion to millions of people who falsely believe that knowledge is power. It is nothing of the sort. Knowledge is only potential power. It becomes power only when and if it is organized into definite plans of action and directed to a definite. So we will be talking about what specialized knowledge we have, what specialized knowledge we focus on, and how that works in our lives. And we begin by talking about our aha moments for the week. And as an introduction to myself, I am Ursula Odom, the owner of Sula 2 Publishing. And what I do is capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. That means that I will write a book. I will write your book. I've produced legacy walls and videos, whatever it takes to capture your story and present that story. And this form is one of them. As we talk about our impact, or the impact that this book has on our lives, then we are actually telling our stories. And those stories are used to impact the lives of others, because each of us have a different way that we present something. And that means that if your learning style or the way that you hear things relate to one or another of us, then that's what it's for. We are different. We have different perspectives, and you do too. And we want you to share yours as well. There's an opportunity for you to do that by raising your hand, and you will hear how to do that. Simply press 1 on your phone if you're calling in, if you have a question. And before we get started, believe it or not, someone has a question. And then after this person who's number ends in 1139, then we will begin with our aha moments from our co-host. Good morning. You have a question.
Good morning, Ursula. No, I just came across your show, and what you were saying is so perfect, because knowledge or information has no value unless you use it creatively, and that's what I do. I'm a self-taught expert of what I term creative utilization of information. And I'd love to speak with you about some of the things that I'm doing to empower women globally, as well as indigenous people, as I also root out corruption globally and bring in new paradigms based on spirituality and unconditional agape love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral. The law of attraction is not limited. You limit the law of attraction, but when you have the right kind of heart-to-God resonance, anything is possible.
All right. So I tell you what, we are just beginning our show, and what we would like you to do is listen in, and there's a place for comments at the bottom so you can help us connect with you as well. So thank you for joining us, and at this point, we're going to have our aha moments. And we're going to begin with Robin. So, Robin, would you share with us, from a perspective of specialized knowledge, your aha moment for the week?
Of aha moment, maybe I think I had like an aha week. But piggybacking off what you were saying, how Napoleon Hill, how he described two types of knowledge. We understand that specialized knowledge is where the money is. So while reading the first page, what I did, I just sat down and I wrote all of the general knowledge that I have, and then all of the specialized knowledge that I have. And I was just looking to see how, with little effort, how I can move some of those general knowledge into specialized knowledge. Because, again, after all, that's what the money is. Then also, my second aha moment came from the following page, where it was talking about Henry Ford, Mr. Ford, and how he had how the Chicago newspaper was really just they sued him. They even called Mr. Ford an ignorant pacifist. And so they were just questioning him like really simple questions. And finally, he was really tired of the questioning because it was really damaging his reputation, because that's what the goal was of the newspaper. But then he finally said, he was asked a question. The question was, who was Benedict Arnold, and how many soldiers did the British send over to America to put down the rebellion in 1776? And again, my aha moment came with his reply. He said, "I do not know the exact number of soldiers the British sent over, but I have heard that it was considerably a large number." In reply to a particular offensive question, he leaned over, pointed his finger at the lawyer who had asked the question, and said, "If I should really want to answer the foolish question you have just asked, or any others you've been asking me, let me remind you that I have a row of electronic push buttons on my desk, and by pushing the right button, I can summon to my aid men who can answer any question I desire concerning the business to which he devoted his efforts." And again, for me, that was a game changer, because I know that I no longer have to be in order to do. And wherever I fall short, I can, by means of my mastermind and who I surround myself with, is where I'm going to, which is what we call the specialized knowledge, which is the organization of that knowledge. So again, that was my aha moment, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Robin. And Betty Knighton is going to share her aha moment.
Yes. Well, actually, my aha moment came at the bottom of page 78, where it says, "As knowledge is acquired, it must be organized and put into use for a definite purpose through practical plans. Knowledge has no value except that which can be gained from its application towards some worthy end. This is one reason why a college degree in itself is not valued more highly. It often represents nothing but miscellaneous knowledge." Now, I have read that paragraph many times because I've read the book many times. However, this past week, it really jumped out at me because I recall years and years ago when I was in college, a professor said to me, "Betty, 1 week on the job, you're going to learn more than you have learned sitting in class an entire semester. Because right now, all you're learning to do is how to jump through hoops." He was so correct, because on that job, and at that time I was a computer analyst, programmer, and I learned so much in the first week that they didn't teach me in school. They can't teach everything in a book. So sometimes the general knowledge just gets you through a period, but you really need that specialized knowledge to be successful in whatever field you're going into. So that was really my aha moment. And it also reminded me of why the first 2 years of college, you're pretty much in core requirements, general knowledge. But the second 2 years, you go into specialized areas because you need the training for whatever field you're going into. So this was a chapter that just, this paragraph jumped out at me, even though I'd read it 100 times. But sometimes it clicks and the light comes on. That was my aha moment.
Thank you, Betty. And actually, yours lead into what I was thinking as well. My aha moment came in that over the years, I've always felt like I've been somewhat scattered because I had a lot of generalized knowledge. I was learning about computers. I spent years in computers. Then I am creative in that I write and perform, and I'm task-oriented, I'm people-oriented, and I love old photographs, I love this, I love that. And then I realized that my generalized knowledge had come together to help me be where I am right now. I use all of those things in the effort in which I'm pursuing at this moment, and that is capturing the stories and then producing those stories and presenting those stories in whatever form form that is suitable for the audience, meaning that a podcast is one. I'm not afraid of computers, so I can handle this. So those two things come together. I can write. And so what I'm doing at this point, as I relate to the book, is that I'm taking those talents and turning them into departments in my company, meaning that I can't do it all by myself. I have to know how to pay for help. And so I start out with virtual staff, and I have a list of virtual staff members, and then actual staff members that I'm bringing on. So I'm taking that generalized knowledge that has been acquired over the years and turning it into specialized knowledge, which I'm really comfortable with right now. I'm having the time of my life, and then growing that knowledge into wealth for myself and wealth for those people that receive the benefit of the services and products that we offer. So this chapter is one that is dear to my heart because it helped me understand that I'm not scattered. I just had a lot of pieces I had to pull together. Okay, so with that, what we're going to do is go to a commercial. And before we do that, I would like to let you know that we have a guest this morning, and we're all very excited about hearing this guest. And so for you to know what's coming up, we have Derek Phillips, and he's an MBA and a motivational keynote speaker whose purpose is empowering youth and adults to tap into their resiliency to overcome adversity. He is a proud Army veteran, having served 3 combat tours in Iraq and 2 combat tours in Afghanistan as a cyber warfare specialist. So you'll hear more about him in a little bit, but let's go to a commercial and get prepared to listen, learn, and then participate.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning. Welcome back. And you're listening to Think and Grow Rich. And you're about to hear our guest, Mr. Derek Phillips. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. Excited about hearing your story. So let's not wait. Let's not have them wait any longer. So tell us from your point of view who you are and how did you get to be at this point?
Who I am? Well, my name is Derek Phillips, and I got my start. I had a pretty humble beginning growing up in Gary, Indiana, but many of you may know it's home of the Jackson 5, but definitely a city that's plagued with just a lot of adversity. But from there, I joined the Army, served 4 years, and then after that, I actually started working for the Department of Defense. I spent a lot of time in the military while I was serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, so a lot of time in combat zones. And then from there, I transitioned into corporate America, working in cybersecurity. And with cybersecurity, is certainly a lot of, I consider that transitioning from the military, more so the military battlefield, to actually in the corporate America, the corporate battlefield, dealing with cybersecurity threats. So it's been a fun ride, but now I'm pursuing the journey of being a professional speaker. And that's how I came upon Black NSA and Think and Grow Rich. It's a fun journey.
Wonderful. So what kinds of things do you really speak about? I mean, just tell us about that.
So in the context of chapter 4 and specialized knowledge, this chapter certainly hits home for me because as I embarked on my professional speaking career, I had a general idea of what I wanted to speak about, but I was so broad. I wanted to serve so many different audiences, from youth to adults to corporate. And reading this chapter, it really helped me hone in on just really who I could serve, my message to serve best, and helped me focus on that target demographic, which I ultimately decided is best would be youth, more so teens. So teens growing up in poverty, underserved youth, that was my target demographic. So once I pinpointed on that, it really helped made everything else clear and really helped me focus on how I could best serve that demographic versus trying to serve so many different demographics with which require different approaches, different marketing, different messaging. So I now have a crystal clear viewpoint on that demographic and how I can best serve them. And basically my approach is really helping them understand that their current situation growing up in poverty is not the end all be all, that they certainly can overcome those circumstances by really shifting their mindset, shifting their perspective on how they view it. So that's what I speak on. And I basically integrate stories that I just my personal stories of growing up in poverty and over and breaking that cycle. So I integrate that into my talks.
So that was going to be my next question. What caused you to focus in on youth? And am I correct in saying that it's combining your personal growth and the people around you? Or am I right or wrong?
Yes, definitely right. Certainly by me actually living that, what happened to overcome that adversity growing up in poverty. And then also I've just always had a desire to help youth and reach back and pay it forward just because so many people helped me along the way. I certainly didn't do it on my own. So as an adult, I've always had a desire to reach back and help youth that are currently experiencing what I had to overcome.
And what are some of those things? What are some of those moments, aha moments in your life that made those help you with those pivotal moments?
Some of the aha moments, I don't know if I realized it as much when I was growing up, but certainly in hindsight, I would have people who knew my background, knew what I had to overcome from poverty to my mother having a mental illness to being raised by my uncle, just a lot of different things that people realized, hey, how did you reach this level of success? And you had to overcome so much. You had to defy those odds. And I kept realizing that it was that adversity that I was enduring that gave me that competitive advantage, that gave me that mental strength and taught me those valuable lessons that once I overcame that adversity, it really just gave me advantage over people who didn't have to endure such adversity. So that's really in hindsight, that was those aha moments. Like, wow, it really is. I think it's Oprah that says it, that there's strength in the struggle. And that's something that was really an aha moment for me. Instead of viewing the struggle as something that, oh, poor me, realizing that, hey, if I can, I'm going through this for a reason. And once I make it through this, I'm just so much stronger mentally. And now I have an advantage now that I can really maximize those lessons I learned, that strength I built and thrive.
The amazing thing about what you just said is a touch point in my particular life because my mother was mentally ill as well. And for the first half of my life, I would not talk about it. It was like a shameful thing to be hidden.
Right.
And then I wrote my first book, and I actually wrote about her, and there was a title in there of a page that says Mentally Ill Mom. And the moment I wrote about that and the world didn't crash in on me and people didn't just shun me and, you know, the lights didn't go out, it was like freedom from all of
right.
that unnecessary pain because she
right.
was a wonderful person, really, with just a little bit of a twist that actually, if you listen
right.
to her, she was funny, you know?
Yeah,
and she wasn't violent or anything, so it was just learning to be her interpreter to the rest of the world or just enjoying the moment with her. you know.
Yeah.
So,
I totally relate.
May have helped a lot of people. So, and that's what's good about this particular show. It allows us to, you know, zero in on things that may be of benefit to other people. So what are some of the other things like? Well, not necessarily that, but who were some of your mentors? Or tell us about how encouraged you. And if in fact, maybe some of those mentors were following the principles of Think and Grow Rich, and whether they said it or not, do you look back and think of someone who did that?
Yes, good question. And first person comes to mind is my uncle, Uncle Tommy. He's actually the one that, when my mother could no longer take care of me at age 11, he actually became my legal guardian. And he certainly served as a father figure for me at a time where I certainly needed it. And then in terms of Think and Grow Rich, I'm sure he probably never read the book, but he practiced those principles. He worked in the steel mill for 34 years, and that was his specialized knowledge. And he made a lot of money doing it, and it really, in hindsight, thinking about it, he was a steel worker, and he did the same job every day and really exhilarated that knowledge that he learned focusing on making steel. But he was a good mentor for me. He taught me some really good values about a strong work ethic, about being responsible and keeping my word, and just about working hard and playing hard. He's one of my biggest mentors still today.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break, and then my co-host will have a few questions for you. I know they're just chomping at the bits. So just after the break, we'll come back and get started.
Awesome.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com.
You're
or
up, Robin.
On Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Welcome back to Think and Grow Rich. And this is Ursula Odom, and we are speaking with Derek Phillips. And he's influenced thousands with his high-energy, content-rich style. He is a resiliency expert, holds a master's degree in occupational education, a master's degree in business administration, and several professional cybersecurity certifications. He holds them. He has served in senior-level cybersecurity positions for Lockheed Martin and Hewlett-Packard, and we're about to find out a lot more about that. The first person that has some questions for him is Robin McDonald, my co-host. Robin?
Hi, Derek.
Hello, Robin.
How are you? Thank you. Thank you for being a guest. I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Honor to be here.
So, well, of course, you know, I met you through the Black NSA, National Speakers Association, and there you were perfecting your speech or your delivery. And then with hearing your bio, with you having a bachelor's degree in occupational education, you have your master's, and then you also have several professional cyber security certifications. So as that pertains to the specialized knowledge, I think you have a combination of both, general and specialized knowledge. So my question is, which one has given you that accumulation of money that you're after?
Certainly specialized knowledge. After I got out of the Army, I was more so doing general IT. And even though I started off doing cybersecurity in the Army, but after I got out, I did generalized IT. And I wasn't making the type of money that I wanted to make. And I just started doing my research on which fields in the IT, specialized fields, made the most money. And cybersecurity was one of the top ones. So that was the point where I started focusing my information gathering and studying on cybersecurity. And that's when I obtained those certifications and started, got a job in cybersecurity. And yeah, it's, the rest is history.
Awesome, awesome. And then also we noticed that specialized knowledge, that's the missing link in our educational system. And we also know that everyone is not designed to go to college. So what
right.
advice would you give someone who's like in limbo and not sure of what they're wanting to do?
Yeah, that's a question I get all the time from kids and adults, or more so from adults. I always tell them, I guess it goes back to, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek, where he talks about start with why. And that helped me a lot, actually transition from cybersecurity into what I'm doing now, speaking to youth, is really understanding what your why is, what your definite purpose is, as Napoleon Hill says in the book. And that, I think that's the starting point. And then once you realize what your definite purpose is, can also just really identify what your strengths are and what you really enjoy doing, what you're gifted at, or what you're willing to learn as far as specializing. And go from there. But yeah, definitely have to realize what your why is.
Okay. Very, very important. Last question I have. What does battle ready mean? I read that in your bio. I have to ask, what does that mean?
So battle ready essentially means just being, having the confidence that you are mentally prepared to overcome any adversity that you're going to encounter. Because as we all know in life, we're going to encounter adversity, a.k.a. battles, on a daily basis that we have to demonstrate resilience and perseverance to overcome. So oftentimes we forget about just how strong we are, just the things that we've already accomplished in our past, and we forget about that. So it's a matter of when you're battle ready, you know, that, hey, when I walk out that door, when I wake up in the morning, whatever I face, I can overcome that. I'm built for this. I'm ready. So. Just battle ready to overcome adversity.
Okay. So if you battle ready, you don't have to get ready.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, thank you, Ursula.
Thank you, Robin. That conversation reminded me of the chapter on faith is really the first one that resonated with me, and it seems like a battle ready type of formula. It's the self-confidence formula. And the first thing that says is, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistence, continuous action towards its attainment. And I here and now promise to render such action. I am battle ready. And Robin wants to jump back into the conversation.
You know, I wanted to chime in. You know, I had to chime in. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God, I just lost it. Okay, no, I'm sorry. There is a – because so many things just resonated when you guys were talking. There is a saying that there's only three things that you need to know, right? The first thing is you know what you know. The second thing is you know someone who knows what you don't know. And the third thing, that's all you need to know, right?
Right.
So with that being said, understanding that the specialized knowledge is, again, the organization of the knowledge that you've acquired and by means of a mastermind group. If you can tell us who makes up that mastermind group for you.
Well, that's a question for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, cool. Oh, I have a nice mastermind group. I have several mentors who are a combination of professional speakers, and I also have mentors who are specializing in just business. I have a business coach, and I have mentors who are just they've known me since I was a kid. I have the Black NSA. I have NSA. I have I attended the Academy, the NSA Academy. I have a large team of mentors and people that I can confide in and just support system. I'm really excited about the team I have. They're awesome. They definitely helped me through a lot.
Great.
Thank you.
And
now, ahead, Robin.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to just again comment on when I had mentioned about Henry Ford, and just to reiterate that he did not need to, again, how does it say? I'm going to read from page number 77. It says, through the assistance of his mastermind group, Henry Ford had at his command all of the specialized knowledge he needed to enable him to become one of the wealthiest individuals in America. It was not essential that he had all the knowledge in his own mind. So again, like we were just talking about that mastermind group, you do not have to know all things. You don't have to go to school for all things. Again, just allow those, wherever there's a weakness or wherever there's a hole, you need to find someone who specializes in that area, which is what I heard a lot of what you're saying, Derek. You found like the best of the best, you know, what you're wanting to do, and you're just really following their footsteps. And that's really what it's all about. So, and also for callers who are listening, when we refer to a mastermind group, just understand, again, it's an accumulation of people and different ideas. So, again, we don't have to learn all of what we're trying to accomplish. We couldn't do it anyway, but, again, that's the significance of having a mastermind group. So those are my thoughts, and I'm going back on mute, Ursula.
All right. Thank you. Now, waiting patiently, I assume, is our other co-host, Betty Knighton. So I'm going to ask Betty, what are your thoughts? Do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. I have a couple of questions, if I may, please. But first of all, Derek, I want to thank you for your service. I am a military wife, so I cannot forget to thank an Army veteran for his service. So my first question is,
I appreciate it, Betty.
You're welcome. What leadership principles did you learn from serving in the military, Iraq and Afghanistan? What were some things that you learned that are helping you today, some specialized knowledge that you acquired in the military?
Probably one of the biggest, or a couple of them come to mind, is being able to adapt and adjust. So in the military, we train for certain circumstances, certain situations, and we equip ourselves for that. But once we get on what we call boots on the ground, we realize that what we train for may not have adequately prepared us for what we're facing. So we have to, in the moment, really be able to be flexible and adapt to those circumstances. I think that's very important in terms of leadership. And then also collaboration. If you notice, whenever the United States military goes to war, they collaborate with other countries. They don't just go on their own. They try to bring other countries in to reinforce their capabilities. So I think that's just important as well. And the last thing is communication is very important. We call it tactical communication in the military. But, yeah, just being able to communicate with your team and make sure that everyone is on the same page is extremely important to just win in war and in life.
Thank you. You picked up some valuable skills in the military.
Definitely.
So I have one more question. I noticed in your bio, it says that you...
I'm sorry, I cut out for a moment. Can you repeat that?
Okay. Apparently, Betty may have hit her mute button.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the mute button by mistake. I'm sorry.
No problem.
But, okay. Now, in your bio, it says that your purpose is to empower youth and adults to tap into their resiliency to overcome adversity. So my question is, how can people become more resilient? And I ask this question for a really personal reason, because I have a 12-year-old grandson who just finished reading the chapter on specialized knowledge. He was born with congenital short femur, so, of course, he wears one big shoe. And, of course, he gets picked on, the bullet. But how do you teach someone to overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
To be more resilient and not let
let it get you down or just be able to go forth even though you're getting little comments. What do you say to a child?
So what I say is, I recently read this quote in Dr. Cobain's book. He said, if you can't change the circumstances, change your perspective. So a lot of times we can't change our circumstances. They are what they are, but we can change how we look at those circumstances, the perspective we look at it from in terms of realizing, okay, why am I in this situation, or what can I learn from this situation? And then basically what I learn, how can I empower others to overcome this? And that was one of the biggest things that helped me overcome a lot of the adversity that I experienced, was realizing that I'm going through this for a reason. I overcame this for a reason. Now, and the reason is for me to help others that are enduring that. So just realizing it is a reason that you're going through that, and it's definitely tough, especially for a child being bullied and just all of the things that kids have to experience. So you can relate to firsthand. And it's hard when you're in the midst of it, but just kind of really looking forward and seeing that, okay, just how much stronger you're going to be about overcoming that adversity, and then how many people you can help as a result. And something that that Ursula mentioned earlier about, like, she used to be ashamed to talk about with her mom, that's something that hits home for me, because I was probably into my 30s where I was comfortable talking about my background, talking about all the adversity I had to overcome and my mom's illness, et cetera. But once I finally realized that I didn't go through that for me, I went through that for other people, to help other people that's going through the same thing, then it shifted the focus where it wasn't about me. It was about, okay, who can I help by sharing my story? And I think you said your grandson, right?
Yes, he's 12.
Yeah, grandson, 12, yeah. It's just really, it's trying to change, realize he can't change those circumstances, but he can change how he looks at it and change, just view it as a gift. And I call it a blessing in disguise. It's a lot of times we have so many things in our life that it seems like it's a disadvantage, or it seems like it's a burden, but in reality it is a blessing in disguise, because that's what, that builds our character, that builds that mental strength, and then it just helps. We're going to be in a position to help so many other people moving forward as a result of us overcoming that adversity.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And I'm going to be sure to have him listen to this episode so he can hear everything you had to say. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Betty. In listening to that conversation, believe it or not, I had a couple of aha moments myself. When we're talking about specialized knowledge and adversity that a person has to overcome, I think about the fact that when I was young, I was extremely shy. I mean, I was smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got my lessons, but I was shy. And as an adult, what I ended up doing is becoming my family historian, which means that I sat down with grandmother and I got all the stories, and I found out who was related to who. And I became the go-to person in the family. So I turned my shyness and my love for my grandmother into specialized knowledge for my family. And then the other aha moment was thinking about Mary McLeod Bethune. She was a Black woman who started a college in 1904, ended up working with presidents, including Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and she formed the Black Cabinet. And that was of elected officials, or appointed officials, really, of Black people and men, a whole bunch of Black men, okay, that she organized into a body of collaborative individuals. And I now look back and realize that she was corralling all of that specialized knowledge, because she was saying that they each needed to know what the other was doing so that they could work on a united front and handle situations that individually they could not handle, but collectively they could. So, you know, you look back on things that you already know and you realize that this book helps you understand what you're looking at and what you're living. So that was really a couple of good moments for me.
Now, if I can, real quick, it's one more thing I wanted to mention to Betty about with her grandson. It's also important for him to realize that he's not alone. And especially with technology today, he really needs to find his tribe as far as people that's already overcome such similar adversity and collaborate with those people and realize and get their feedback as far as how they handled that situation, and then realize the kids is currently going through it. It's just really important for him to know that he's not the only one with that condition. There's people that's overcome it. There's people that's currently dealing with it. So just find that community that he can collaborate with, and that really help to really help him change his perspective and know that he can have that strength and support system to get up through it.
Absolutely. And to our listening audience, you have an example right here. There are two of us on this show that have had mothers that were mentally ill, and we survived. So
yep,
we know it's possible. And thriving. So it is possible for you or someone you love to accomplish the same end, and that is to overcome and to use those experiences to create specialized knowledge. Okay.
Exactly.
So for our listening audience, if you have questions, just press 1 on your phone and you can join the conversation. Now, what have we not asked you, Mr. Phillips? What other things would you like to share?
One thing kind of goes back to what you mentioned as far as with your mom, how she had like a good sense of humor and things like that. I would say my mom, probably the greatest gift she gave me is just the gift to see things, see that glass half full, the gift to always look on the brighter side of things. And I know so many people struggle with that, but that's something that my mom, that's the life she lived. She was always in a good mood, always happy, no matter what the circumstances were. She could see the light at the end of the tunnel, or just see that glass half full. So that's something that she's no longer with us, but that's something that how I continue her legacy. Whenever I'm in a bad mood or feeling down, I just think about that gift that she gave me in terms of seeing the brighter side of things and realizing that things could always be worse. So really focus on what I have to be grateful for. That's just an invaluable gift that she gave me.
That's funny because my mother gave me one as well. We have another call, and I hold my comment until later. Someone whose number ends with 1139, I'm going to open your line. If you have a question. Just one second. I'm attempting to do that. Okay. You have a question.
Yes, I called early at the beginning, and I am enjoying everything being said. And my mother, too, had mental difficulties and went in and out of mental institutions most of her life, yet she was also a supermodel. And
wow.
She was an avid Bible reader, too, and said to me at one time, if the world is to end, why can't it end in love instead of fire? And I said, there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's the way it should hopefully transition into love. Everything is, if it's based on the God energy of love, that's where we all should be shifting, because we are all spiritual beings. I wanted to thank Derek for his service. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I do have a business partner who's a cybersecurity expert who's also a Vietnam era veteran. I'd like to see what I can do to help mentor you and get more attention. And if I can share my name, I also have a poem that I would love to have Ursula discuss more with me. Maya Angelou commented on it, and I'm looking to manifest it in a way that will transform the whole way global philanthropy is done. So if I can just share my name, I think you might find it interesting to see some various things on YouTube or just the interviews that I have done.
Yes.
Okay, yes. My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Trawlson. It's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. After my name, if you put Ann Maya Angelou, it will bring you to a portion of an archive radio program where I had the pleasure of speaking with her and the kind words she had to say about a poem I authored titled Caring Sharing, which is in the President Ronald Reagan Library, discussed as a weapon against terrorism. Currently, I'm looking to utilize it to help the people of Haiti. And there's a whole story behind that that can be developed into an ebook. And so there's a lot of opportunity. And again, information, if you use it creatively and collaborate and network. And collaboration doesn't mean when you go to a networking event just to pass out your business cards or whatever to see what people can do for you, but always to keep the interests of the other person in mind. And then when you're able to do that, you'll come into your environment synchronicities that you'll be able to pre-qualify and bring back to them and do beautiful things together.
I tell you what we would like you to do. If you would go to the website.
I don't do anything inbound or outbound personally on the internet. My business partner does these things for me, and there's reasons
I
don't.
Have your business partner put a link to your poem in the comment section here so that it can be shared with everyone.
All right.
Having not read it before, I'm a little reluctant to have it read fresh here without pre-screening it, to be perfectly honest. But we would like to have a link to it, if you don't mind, because it sounds interesting, especially if Maya Angelou liked it. And thank
right.
you for participating. And I might have our guests comment on what you've said so far. Derek, comment?
Yes. Thank you for your service as well. And the biggest thing I like, the takeaway I have is, as far as you mentioned, the tip with networking, it is important as when we're networking to focus on, learn more about that person you're networking with and not focus it on yourself. And whenever you have a potentially a need that you can feel there, then that's when you bring it up. But they're really focused on getting to know that person, pull out what they do and focus on how you can serve them. So I think that's a really good tip.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to have my co-hosts make their comments or if they have any questions. So Robin, any additional things that you want to say to our guests before we begin to wrap it up?
Well, again, I would like to thank him for being our special guest. And those words of encouragement and those golden nuggets that you threw out, can you please tell the listening audience how can they get in touch with you? And really, what's next for Derek?
Sure, no problem. So my website is derekphillips.com. And also you can email me at derek@mentorselect.com. So Derek is with an H. DRICH. Those are the two primary modes you can contact me. But as far as what's next, I'm actually getting ready. Just finished up my first book. It's called Poverty Powerball, Turn Adversity into Your Winning Ticket. And I'm getting ready to publish it and start promoting it. It's going to be fun. But the book is focused more so towards at-risk teens, really helping them, going back to what I said, as far as change their perspective on how they view their current circumstances and realizing that that adversity that they're currently enduring can really be their winning ticket in life. It can be their competitive advantage. They're building so much mental strength and just learning so many lessons that's going to serve them throughout their life. And that's what's next for me.
Awesome, awesome. And thank you again for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Really want to congratulate everything that you all are doing. You're empowering people through this show. So it's an honor being a part of it.
And Betty Knighton.
Oh, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you again to Derek for his wonderful wisdom. And I am going to share it with my grandson. I am very, very grateful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And to reiterate from my perspective, I've totally enjoyed the conversation with you, and I am certain that our listening audience will benefit from this show and your experiences and the fact that you would share it with us. So I again say thank you as well, and you have an invitation to come back whenever you would like.
I'll be happy to. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks
any,
for having me.
Any additional things that you would like to say before we wrap it up?
As far as, just wrapping it up with the chapter, the specialized knowledge, the chapter really hit home for me, and it really helped clear up the direction that I needed to go. I look at it kind of like a dartboard. Once you get into that bullseye, that's where really that's where the value is. You can combine your specialized knowledge, and then that's when you start getting those ideas, those golden nuggets, those million-dollar ideas is in that bullseye. So just being able to finally get to that point is the key, has been certainly the key for my career. So to the listeners, don't be afraid to specialize. Don't focus on serving everyone. Focus on who you're best suited to serve. And that doesn't mean you can't help other people, but you're going to make the greatest impact by serving those who you're best suited to serve. And that all ties into specialized knowledge.
All right. Thank you very much. And just before we end, there is an event that happens every year that I believe Betty is going to share with our listening audience that you need to hear about.
Betty? Yes, it is the Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting. And that's a full day of goal setting and accountability. It's going to be held January 4th, 2020, on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And it's at the Embassy Suites by Hilton in Boca Raton. Tickets are available. You can go to internationalmasterminds.com/annual. And you can register now. You don't have to wait. You can register on Eventbrite. You don't have to wait until then. You can do it now. And I guarantee you it is life-changing. I started 12 years ago, and that event evicted me from the corridors of complacency. So it is a great event, and you will greatly benefit from attending the event. So register early. Don't wait until the last minute. You will not regret it.
Thank you. And with that, to our listening audience, thank you for participating with us, because your listening means that we make a difference. And come back next week, because we're here every week at 8 a.m. to Think and Grow Rich. Take care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.